Hagman Report. Our guest right now is Michael Franzese. Go to michaelfranzese.com and check out his website. He's got, you can get his books from there. You can, find out about Michael. He's got audio, video, other clips on there, other TV and TV interviews and articles. It's a very interesting site. And again, check out his books. He's written a number of books. The one you had, Dad, Blood Covenant?
Yes, yes. And I got that, this is actually the updated version of the initial version, so I think it's probably, what, 12 years old now? I don't know, but still relevant and still good.
In his latest book, I'll Make You an Offer You Can't Refuse. Before I forget, Michael, I want to ask you this. So, how can our audience help you?
Yes, in terms of your advancing your ministry.
Well, you know, I believe very strongly in the power of prayer. I have thousands of people praying for me. I don't ever, you know, finish an engagement without asking for prayer, because I know I need it, and I believe in it. You know, basically that's it, guys. I mean, I have a 501c3, but I'm certainly not out there soliciting people. But people at times want to help, especially with the youth ministry. You know, you can do that through my website if you feel moved to, but God is very good, and he's taken care of me in many ways, so, you know, I don't worry about that. But really, prayer and just support the ministry in prayer as often and as much as you can, and I think that's kind of carried the day over the past 20 years.
And, you know, I'm telling you, folks, I would endorse contributing to Michael's ministry over any other television preacher, over anyone else. He is, to me, he's a true preacher of the gospel. I mean, he's out there, he's been through the mill. He's come out on the other side. He's lived it. He knows what it's like. But he's changed his life, and he's now making a difference in other people's lives.
And we talk about this on the show quite a bit.
We do.
Not to jump in, but
no,
it's interesting how God uses people who have had and been on that other side, have had shady pasts, have had lived a life that doesn't recognize God really in any capacity, and then to for that conversion, and it's amazing. I don't know about you, Michael, but I go through it sometimes, you know, not wondering why, you know, why me, and, you know, a number of different thoughts go through my head in that regard. But God will use who he needs, in that time. And, we have to be open, to receive the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And, I think it adds a lot of character when people have that background that many other people don't have, you know, being on the other side of the law, being on the other side of the faith, and then that conversion. It kind of gives you a whole picture, a better picture than what some people have. And I think it helps people utilize their ability to help people, because there are a lot of people who, you know, just about every Christian I know has times in their life that they've been through some bad times. They've sinned willfully. They've done things they're not proud of. And I think it speaks volumes to the power of redemption and mercy that the Lord shows his believers.
Amen to that.
We got a question.
There's no doubt about that.
We got a question from one of our listeners, Maggie. She wanted to know, have you had a chance, or have you talked to Rudy Giuliani since you found the Lord?
You know, I have. It was several years ago, and, you know, it was amazing. Rudy was one of the people when, you know, it became public that I was walking away and that I was, you know, out there speaking and telling my story. A lot of people knocked that from the media and said, you know, he'll never change, it's an act, and all of this kind of stuff. And Rudy was one guy that I'll never forget. They interviewed him, and he said, you know what, I think this might be real. He said, you know, Michael, he's a smart guy. This was Rudy's assessment, and he said, I think he realizes this life is over, and I think this transition might be real. So he said that, and I was pretty surprised by it, but I always tease him, though, when I seen him the last time, and the only time, I said, Rudy, I want to remind you of one thing. And he said, what's that? I said, out of all the indictments you brought forward, I was the only one that beat you. And he kind of laughs at that. And he said, well, you know what? I guess it's a good thing, because you're out there doing the right thing now. And so it was nice. But, you know, him. I'll tell you what, he was a great mayor of New York, and he was also a good prosecutor. Like him or hate him, he did the job on my former life, and he certainly turned the city of New York around. So,
indeed he did. And that was an interesting question. I was kind of curious about the answer myself, but an interesting question. Because there are, and I've known in our work as investigators, I've known accused meeting prosecutors, and sometimes it doesn't go as well as that, of course, you know. But I'm glad to hear that. Anything that you would like to leave our audience with? I know that you've got some tiring trips coming up here. You're going to be going overseas and such. But anything you'd like to leave our audience with? The floor is yours here. Any closing comments?
Again, my ministry, my whole life right now is really, I think, the purpose God has given me is to encourage people and to give them hope and to let them understand that, you know, through Christ, there is always hope. And whatever that hope might be, whether it might be now or in the future or in the next, in the kingdom, but there's always hope. It's real. And I tell people, don't give in to their situation. Don't give up. You know, one of the things I love to tell people, those that have come out of a bad situation and still haven't found their purpose in life, because you find your purpose in God's time when He feels you're ready. And, you know, ex-drug addicts, ex-gambling addicts, I always tell them, you know, who better than you to minister to people that are going through that situation than you? You've been there. You've done that. You have credibility. You know, it's like with me. When I talk to these gangbangers, and you have to see this, guys, it's amazing. I go into Cook County Jail, and I'm speaking to everybody on the tier, 100 guys that are in there for murder. And they listen to me as if, you know, I can't explain it, because in their view, I've been there. I've done that. They look at my former life as the ultimate gang life. I've survived that life. So what I'm saying must be true, because I know everything they're going through. I said, guys, there's nothing you're going to go through that I haven't been through already that I don't understand. I know everything that you're dealing with on a minute-by-minute basis in this place. And when you have credibility with people and you've overcome situations, they look at you and they listen. They pay attention. And so I try to tell people, you know, don't ever be discouraged by what you went through in the past, and don't ever think that God won't use your past to benefit, you know, his purpose for you in the future. So it's all about being encouraged, being hopeful, and turning towards the Lord. And that's always my, you know, my advice to everybody and anybody that I speak to. Because, you know, guys, I do take this very seriously. You know, when I'm speaking, I'm not there to entertain people, and I'm not there just... you know, I request. I'm there because I have a job to do, and that is to plant seeds in the hearts of people so the Lord can nourish them and use them for His witness. And that's it.
So that's a very important job, and I know that one that you take very seriously. Does your wife go with you as well, Minister?
She does, you know, quite often, because, you know, there's a lot of places that have brought me back, you know, 3, 4, 5 times, and I say, guys, you know, why don't we bring my wife in here? There's a different dynamic between the two of us, hearing what she went through. And I always say this, you know, I might have a story, but think of her story. 20 years old when I meet her, has no clue what she's going to go through, gets it with a ton of baggage out of nowhere, practically. We were only married 4 months before I went away. And, you know, her being told that that I would never last, that I was going to get killed, you know, 5 years in prison, you know, running around to see me, and they're transporting me all over the country. I come out, we're on parole for 13 months. We have a really tough time. Then I get violated, I go back in again. She hangs in there. I mean, her story is incredible for a young girl. And she'll tell you, as much as I love my husband, if God wasn't in the foundation of our marriage, I wouldn't have made it through. And she's very honest about that. So she does travel with me, and I think that people are really blessed from hearing us both together. And so that happens, and I'm glad she supports me in that regard. For a long time, she didn't feel that that was her role. She felt, you know what, that's your job to be out there. My job is to keep you in prayer and take care of the house and the kids. But she's felt now that my kids are older, she feels another calling on her life. And praise God for that, because she's been a tremendous witness.
Michael Francis, Francis. I'm sorry, I mispronounced your name. One we wish Francis. I only read your book this weekend and said your name about 50 times today, and I'm sorry about that.
That's right.
You could tell. I just want to say thank you so much for being an inspiration to so many people out there, and for doing what you do. You are a true minister. I don't know how else to put it, but I look at you and I look at a man who's got a ministry and a word, and your word does mean a lot. And I just want to say thank you for doing what you do, because you certainly could be doing other things and you're not, and praise God for that.
Well, thank you, guys, and thank you for giving me this platform so that, that people can realize the power of the Lord in someone's life, and I appreciate it, and you know, maybe we'll do it again one time, and
absolutely,
and we just continue.
We're going to be praying for you. We're going to be praying for you and your wife, your family, your children, your grandchildren, your dad. It's going to be a great day when you see him again.
Yes.
And just please travel safe and come back and visit.
Yeah, we can do this again in the future.
Amen.
Will do, guys. Thank you very much. Sir. And take care and God bless.
All right. God bless. Wow, folks. What a great man. I mean, to me, his book, the book that I read, and he's got others, but the book I read, Blood Covenant, you know, there's so much, you deal with so much bad in the world, right? And you think, wow, it's just pervasive all over the place. And then you meet a man like this. It's no accident that these programs are being laid out this way. John, thank you so much. John Robertson, thank you so much. Bill McIntosh from Ocasa Media, thank you so much. Of course, in an earlier segment, we had John Kelly, the profiler. Then we have Michael Francis. Right.
And this is somebody that John's been wanting to get on our show for a while. A year ago,
yeah,
he mentioned it to us. He said, you know, this is somebody my dad's booked for events and speaking engagements, and you really got to have this guy on your show. And so thank you, John, so much for spending over a year.
Yeah. And thank you, Bill McIntosh from Ocasa Media. And folks, again, you know, there are many people that are working to make this program what it is, and in spite of us, which, thank you. And Bill McIntosh is one of them. And if you do need a fascinating speaker for your next conference, please give him a call, Ocasa Media. He's a gracious man, and we owe him a lot. His phone number is 305-396-2806. Again, 305-396-2806. And his website's pictured right there. There it is right there on YouTube. But, you know, our last guest, a very fascinating man. And you have to read the book. I guess my mind is still in that book, because the situations he describes in that book, I'm thinking, you know, how could anyone not become like a congressman after that? Okay.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
And then just before we move on, tomorrow, today we have Michael Francis. Tomorrow we have Joe Pistone. I don't know how many people are familiar with Donnie Brasco, the movie or the story, but real life Donnie Brasco, he's played by Johnny Depp in the movie Donnie Brasco. He infiltrated the mafia as an undercover FBI agent and got to the highest ranks in the mafia as an FBI agent. Joe Pistone will be on with us tomorrow. So it's kind of worked out really well as far as getting, you know, back to back. And I was watching a documentary earlier, and both Michael Francis and Joe Pistone were on the documentary pretty much the whole time. And it's interesting how that lines up, where we're having them on one after the other. And yeah. Also on Friday, yeah, we're going to have Roger Stone on.
Yes.
He's going to be joining us for an hour on Friday. We got a fantastic week lined up for you, really for the rest of the month. So make sure you tune in. But yeah, tomorrow Joe Pistone, who is Donnie Brasco, as an undercover FBI agent who infiltrated the mafia. It's going to be very interesting.
And you know, what John and I were talking earlier today, and again, he's done so much to get these guests lined up, and we were talking, and he said, it's kind of a heavy week in terms of you've got profilers and then you've got the mob. Well, you know, it's kind of a diversion from a news kind of program, news-oriented program. But when you look at the mob, for example, you look at people like our previous guest, and you look at Donnie Brasco, isn't this what we're seeing in the larger sense, though, taking place? Isn't what we're seeing with respect to our government, the New World Order, as it's called, the deep state, don't they operate in the same fashion? Isn't mm-hmm. this... Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, this is ripping out a page of the playbook of these gentlemen.
And I really wanted to, with Michael, I really wanted to expand further on, you know, how he stated his disdain for the government.
Yeah.
I really wanted to explore that more,
yeah,
but that really
yeah.
wasn't the topic that we were going to get into. I mean, because there's a lot of stuff going on today, and then we could have taken it into current events in the spiritual state of the country, but...
I think he got his message across.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, the spiritual state of this country is being shredded from the people and them moving away from faith. What was it, 70% of Americans polled said that they were Christians?
Yeah,
I find that very hard to believe when we see... I mean, I guess you could say you're a Christian. If you're active or not, that's a different story. But we, you know, I saw a story today and
church attendance down though, as Michael was saying, how could you not go to church? But on Drudge, well, there was a link on Drudge. I was only on there for a while, I think. Maybe it could still be on there. I don't know. But among millennials, church attendance is virtually non-existent.
Yeah, and we got a lot of news to get into. I know we're not going to have a lot of time throughout the rest of the week to get into some of this stuff. But I saw a story today. I think I'm going to have to go back and find it, and then we'll really get into it. But there was a school, I believe schools in California, were allowing Muslim prayers to be done during the same school that banned Bible reading and prayer groups after
yes.
school is allowing Muslims to pray and encourage, buying them prayer rugs and bringing them into the schools to pray during schools. And that just goes to the hypocrisy.
Isn't this what we're seeing the prayers for the first time in the Vatican now? That was announced today. I don't know how many people saw that.
Yeah, I don't know. But I guess what I was saying with that is if that's the case, and I got to get the details on that story because I skimmed over it just before we went on air. My question is, and I guess I'm posing this as a question, should Christians do what we've seen all throughout the country? Should we take it to court and sue? You know, you have the ACLU suing to get Bible reading and prayer groups taken out of schools, yet you don't see anything when for either fear or people don't care. And I guess my question from opposing the Muslim prayer in schools or fighting to allow Christian prayers back into schools, whether it's not part of the curriculum, if it would be some kind of after school program, or if it can be done in groups during school, but why don't Christians fight and come after fight for equality or anti-discrimination like we see these other religions or people or organizations doing? That's my question. If the nation is 70% Christian,
where is
the backbone to stand up to, you get kicked out of, you know, your kid's not allowed to pray in school or bring Bibles to school.
Right.
This court decision, we'll say, last year. And then this year they're allowing Muslims to pray in school and we'll say encouraging, you know, Muslim prayer groups during or after school. Where is the outcry and the outrage from Christians? Where is the fight for your faith to be allowed back into schools? Because I can see if it was just a blanket policy on any religion being in schools. But when you start to let one religion get away with things others aren't doing in a public setting, why are we not seeing pushback from the Christian church? That's my question.
And that's a very interesting question. Is it of
is there really not 70% of Christians out there? Or do they not want to fight for the equality? And I know a lot of Christians are, you know, more easygoing and forgiving and not wanting the struggle or whatever. But at some point, we have to take a stand.
And you know, I was waiting for you to bring that up. I was wondering how long.
Here it is. Texas High School opens Muslim prayer room after the ACLU fought to keep Christian prayer out. This is on jihadwatch.org.
Right.
For decades, the ACLU and allied groups fought to get Christian prayer out of American public schools. They were successful, but now prayer is coming back into the schools as long as it's Islamic prayer, and it seems fine with everyone. The article goes on to talk about it. This is enforcing principles of Sharia, that Muslims have rights and privileges which non-Muslims are not entitled to. I guess my question is, what is the appropriate course of action? And we have to, in my opinion, anybody who's a parent, again, go to jihadwatch.org, and let me pull up this article here. I'll post it in our interactive chat on YouTube. But, yeah, this is one example of one school in Texas, but this is happening all over the country in places like California and New York City. I saw last week an article about that was where the prayer rugs were being bought for students inside public schools. So at what point do we say enough is enough and take the legal action back against these schools or to fight for Christianity to be allowed? If you're going to allow one, you're going to have to allow the other. It's discrimination otherwise. And that's a fight you can easily win in a court battle. And if you don't win, it shows the hypocrisy of the courts and the discrimination of the courts, and it would definitely win on appeal. I can't see how it could lose all the way up, but this goes on to say a prayer room in Texas High School.
Wait a second, Joe. Let me ask you this, and I want your answer to this. Wouldn't a lot of Christians say, well, we're not to sue others, right? We're not to bring lawsuits against others.
It's not for monetary damages. It's for the right to be able to pray and have equal opportunity to pray in the schools.
All right. But because I'm sure, I am absolutely sure there are going to be people out there who are going to say, well, we're not to, you know, just as we're not supposed to use violence, certainly we're not supposed to, you know, sue anyone. But go ahead.
Keep going. Well, this, again, go to jihadwatch.org. There's a prayer room at a Texas high school is raising legal concerns, and the state's attorney general's office in a letter Friday to school district superintendent indicated the school's policy would be neutral towards religion. The Liberty High School's prayer room is dedicated to students who practice Islam, allows the students to pray at the school on Fridays instead of leaving to say their requested prayers. The letter cites the school's own news site, which focused on the prayer room. And they go on to cite, in a letter Friday to the Frisco Independent School District, the Texas Attorney General outlined the legal concerns over the prayer room, indicating it may violate the First Amendment's protection of religious liberty. But the bottom line is here. They're saying the Liberty High School's policy should be neutral towards religion. However, it appears that students are being treated different based on their religious belief.
But see, that is acting under the assumption or under the agreement that Islam is a religion, when in fact I think the argument can be made clearly that Islam is not a religion but a culture, which is long for cult, but culture that is disguised as a religion and used as a religion when it's convenient. That's my view of Islam, and perhaps others don't agree with me on that, but I think that's what's going on. But go ahead.
No, but again, this just shows the hypocrisy in the school systems and the government with the ACLU. And I guess it goes back to a question. Are Christians afraid? Are they not willing to fight? Do they not want to fight? Are they giving up? Are we going to see some pushback here? So,
interesting.
Interesting. One of the things that are going on, you're not going to really hear too much about. But it needs to be something that's looked on more, because they can't, if they can get Christianity and prayer, Christian prayer groups, after school prayer groups out of the schools, and then turn right around in the next year and open up a room inside the school to let Muslim students leave class to pray during the school day, but turn around and say, you know, they can pray here, but your religion's not welcome here. That's a big problem. And if that's the way that this country's going, if we let them get away with this, how long until you know, this is a policy that goes all the way up to.
At what point do we stop celebrating Christmas or having Christmas holidays and having the Muslim equivalent thereof, or not the equivalent, but Muslim holidays and in place of Christian holidays? This country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and don't let anyone tell you differently. That is it. End of story. When we come back, I want to mention something about Josh Tully's YouTube channel and Josh Tully's recent YouTube. I spoke with him today. Also, FBI's Russian influence probe includes a look at far-right news sites. I hate to use that far-right.
No, that's good. Did you see that FBI is probing far-right?
Yeah, that's what I'm referring
to. Oh, I thought you were talking about Josh Tully.
No. Okay. There's two separate issues, but I don't like that phrase, far-right. That's incorrect, I believe. But
and that article goes on Drudge, goes to basically say that these websites are Russian Kremlin bot-controlled.
That's right.
Websites like InfoWars, Breitbart.
Dave Hodges, Common Sense.
Yeah.
And we, as well, we've been shadow-banned. According to a list on Twitter, the Hagman Report's been shadow banned.
So if you don't agree with the progressive socialist communist agenda, you're automatically a Russian agent or a far-right extremist with no ability or reason to be able to promote your point of view. Folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Hagman Report after these short messages. Stay with us.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is... It'll blow you away. Absolutely. Eric said...
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changeclosewoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Hagman Ag Report. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for your belief and your trust in us and in our program. Thanks for your support of our program. Without your support, we could not do what we do. And that goes along too with supporting our advertisers. You know, we attempt to branch out, build out, and cover as much of the news that you're not getting through ordinary channels as possible. But we go where the leads take us. We go where the evidence takes us, and we report back with our findings, unfiltered, unvarnished truth. That's what we attempt to provide to each and every one of you. So thank you so much. If you're interested in advertising, opportunities at HagmanandHagman.com. That's opportunities at HagmanandHagman.com. Or you can go check the advertise with us on our pages, and you can see how to advertise if you're a business. And speaking of that, I got an email today from someone. I don't have permission to use her name, except I'll just say Cherie. She wrote this. She wrote, "Doug and Joe, thanks so much for having Trading Post in the Woods on the show recently. I was so excited to place an order for your endorsement. I spent time on the phone with them today, and they were so helpful. I hope they'll continue to be your guests on your show. They're very sincere and caring." And there it is. Okay, we do select the people who are our sponsors are to us the best of the best, and Trading Post in the Woods is the best of the best. They offer solutions that you will not find elsewhere. You won't find them anywhere else. TradingPostInTheWoods.com. That's their website. And you know, they've got this American Heritage Remedies Kit.
As a matter of fact,
that radio silence was me bending over. And here it is right here. We use it. This is phenomenal. They've got numerous vials here. If you're not on video, you can't see this, but things like Sick Stopper, Cold Sinus, Digestive Care, and I can go on and on and on. But Trading Post in the Woods, they've got something for everybody and every condition, every malady, every need. That's TradingPostInTheWoods.com. They're caring people. They know what they're doing, and it's kind of like your old grandmother's apothecary. And, okay, TradingPostInTheWoods.com.
Go
ahead.
If we're going to get back in the news, there's a story that's come up here. It's going to be on the Times in London tomorrow.
Okay.
Global brands shun Google. I'm just going to read the first two paragraphs because they're really important. Global brands including Volkswagen, Toyota, and Tesco last night joined the more than 250 companies that have suspended advertising deals with Google as the internet giant apologized for failing to crack down on extremism. ITV, Ivana, and Heinz also pulled advertising from YouTube, Google's video platform, after an investigation by the Times found the companies promoted videos posted by hate preachers,
okay.
Rape apologists and homophobic extremists banned from entering Britain. A growing number of brands have blocked Google or YouTube advertising since the revelation last week. And they go through a list of the companies.
Wow.
What is this, a lawfare?
No, this is censorship more than lawfare.
And this is happening in the UK right now and in Europe. But how long until some of these major companies in the U.S. do the same thing? I know Europe has much different laws when it comes to hate speech.
And so does Canada, by the way.
Right. But we've seen this time and time again. We do not need to have hate speech laws here for companies to go after or say that they're withdrawing their business from companies like Google. How long before that happens here and Google starts to create their own policies?
Google, well, and I think YouTube, it's happening now.
They don't have to follow doesn't have to be laws in place. They can set their policies, as we've seen, from Twitter to Facebook to YouTube. They can label things that they deem inappropriate as fake news, as hate speech, and you might not get in any trouble criminally, but you can certainly get in trouble as a business if your message does not align with how Google wants it to be. I mean, if you're opposed to the ideology of Google, how long until our YouTube videos or, anybody in the alternative media are silenced?
And this is what I want to bring up with Josh Tully's video. When you're done with that, let me know.
No, go ahead.
Okay, all right. I spoke with Josh Tully today. Josh Tully's show is on Little Star Radio Network. He's got a huge platform. And folks, he did a video. Let me just look over here. He did a video. He interviewed a woman. Actually, he had the woman's name and such on this video. It's since taken off, but because of death threats that she got or threats that she received. But he did this in-person video. The video is titled "Diseased Refugees Obtaining SSN," meaning Social Security card numbers and passports upon arrival here in this country. And here's the gist of the video. I would recommend you watch this video, but here's the gist of it. He has a whistleblower who attended meetings via the United Nations Office of Refugee Monitoring through this at the state level. And she said, look, what I witnessed at these meetings and what I witnessed in real time at airports were commercial airlines bringing in refugees. Now think of this. You've got a normal commercial aircraft that's capable of flying over the Atlantic, for example, from the Middle East to JFK, or from the Middle East to Kansas City. All right? They're filled with refugees. She has witnessed this. Let me just make sure I've got this right here. I've taken a lot of notes. This is just a couple of scribbles from this video. But what's taking place is this. There's this refugee resettlement taking place at the behest of our powers in Washington, D.C. under UN programs in cooperation with various states. Commercial airlines bringing over hundreds of refugees at a time in commercial aircraft that are disease-ridden. According to this source, they've got tuberculosis, even in some cases, listen to this, leprosy. They've got smallpox, polio, highly infectious, highly contagious diseases, HIV, for example. The majority of these refugees are between the ages of 15 and 45. The flights come in and under the cover of darkness, usually in the middle of the night. And Jewish, Catholic, Lutheran, these religious charities are paid sometimes upwards of $2,500, we'll say, per group to pick up these group of refugees. And they're taken to process centers within the airport. Some can't even speak English. But here's the crazy part about this is the majority of them, they don't speak English. They have no paperwork. No one knows who they are. And it's to the point where they're just classified as FUNUs. Full name unknown. That's the acronym for FUNUs, acronym for full name unknown. And that's, I mean, I've seen that in law enforcement, usually associated with deceased people. Anyway. But what is taking place is these people are qualifying or are being set up for Social Security disability if they've got a cough. Gee, how do you feel? Is your lower back hurt? Yes, okay. And how do they translate that? Sometimes there's a translator, sometimes there's not. But nonetheless, they are given Social Security disability, many of them. Almost all of them are given passports and bank cards. You know what I'm talking about? The bank cards, the ATM type cards that you use when you go on welfare. They are classified, after their arrival, they're called clients for the purpose of the resettlement. They're processed and supposedly they're taken to these group homes set up by these charities, whether it be Jewish or Catholic or Protestant charities. Not vetted. None whatsoever. And many times they don't stay at these group homes or charities. Sometimes they don't even make it there. They just go once they have their card, their cash card, and their passport, they're out of there. Now, I did not do justice to this whistleblower in the video by Josh Tully. And we've got nothing, by the way, nothing to gain by nothing to personally gain by saying this, except to say that we all need to stick together. And here's why I mentioned this video in the context of what Joe is talking about, in the context of what we've been talking about. Josh said, hey, you know something? I've been getting email after email after email. This video has been disappearing. The links have been disappearing. The links, you can't open the links. It can't be posted or shared on social networking. It's virtually dead in the water. What's going on? And we looked at it and we did some investigation. And quite frankly, the censorship is in full force. Google is censoring this video. Other sites are censoring this video. Now, as we...
For what? That, racism? Anti-immigration?
No. It's even more insidious, I believe, than that. It's... There are no charges of racism here. They don't want this information getting out. And this is the battle in which we fight. This is why when we talk about stuff like this, we say, would you please subscribe to our YouTube channel? It's not for the numbers. The numbers are wrong anyway. And nobody really pays attention to the numbers anyway. It's because once you subscribe, in a sense it is for the numbers because it does, when you strike at a larger target, of course, it does make a little bit of a difference and more people see it. But that, aside from that, I mean, economically, the numbers don't make any difference. Josh was really concerned about this, and we spoke for a long time. I said, you know, and we looked at the tags. And by the way, the censorship is using algorithms, and they're picking out if you use the word Trump in the tag of a video or of an article, if you use the word or any objectionable word, and I mean, there's pages upon pages mm-hmm. upon pages of these words, any word in the title, not only do they demonetize videos, but they will send them into oblivion.
You can't even on YouTube, you can't even use the tag ISIS,
right.
Islam.
Correct.
They'll demonetize your video right away.
Right. That's right. And now they're developing this voice recognition. And I'm not even sure it's voice recognition, but it's recognizing words like Islam, Muslim, ISIS, terrorism. And because they leave certain signatures, Eric would know what they're called, but you know, the wave things on the audio waves. So anyway. The reason I bring this up is, please, number one, share this video because number one, the information in here is tremendously important. But secondly, understand that this censorship has already begun. You can expect from this day forward the war to be really raging against us, against all of the truth tellers, and soon. Trust me when I tell you this, and I was talking with Steve Quayle on this today, they are going to criminalize in the United States. They're going to criminalize our speech. Much like Europe, even like Canada. They will say, you cannot say, for example, you can't talk about Islam, you cannot talk about refugees. It will be a hate speech crime.
I don't know.
You said
using these words in any way online, whether it's in articles or YouTube videos, they'll demonetize it. They will put it to the bottom of the search
yes.
functions. They will.
And then they'll criminalize it.
I don't see that. How can they? I mean.
Okay. Are you serious?
No. I'm serious.
Mic
we have
up.
The First Amendment. And.
The First Amendment. Are you serious? The First Amendment in this country basically is dead. When you push protesters, agree with them or disagree with them, I don't care. I'm not talking about the riot people that throw the Molotov. I'm talking about people with the signs.
Protesters.
Yeah, when you push them over into a pen, seven blocks from the president, or you neutralize them by way of proximity. Where in the hell is free speech in this country? We don't have free speech anymore. And you might say, well, that's really an odd thing for you to say. I'm listening to you, bitch, about free speech. saying that we don't have it anymore. I just got like five looks over from people.
Well, see, I can see the internet being cut off before they criminalize free speech.
Well,
I just don't see the. I just don't see it.
Look.
I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying.
When it comes to the point, and folks, hear me well. When it comes to the point,
and how would they even enforce it?
Let me ask you a question. How do you get sued for? I'm not going to go there.
No, I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
Because I'm to the point right now where, you know what, I've got nothing to lose. But I look at my children, yeah, you included, and my grandchildren, and I think, if I don't do something, then who in the heck is going to do anything? I don't have anything to lose. Trust me when I tell you, I have nothing to lose. I don't have anything to lose. So let me tell you something. That's a really, when you don't have anything to lose, and you get
the most dangerous person,
and you get poked in the chest with a stick or a finger. I don't like people poking me in the chest with a finger. That's no. Okay, I need a 5 foot perimeter around me at all times. But anyway, you see. All of us, we together, as a Christian community, and as a conservative Christian community, we have to stand together, or we will indeed hang separately. And that's not just a trite saying, that's the truth. We have to band together. You know, if we don't talk about Michael Savage, 74-year-old talk show host, conservative, being pushed to the ground and his dog kicked. If we don't say, I'm standing up for Michael Savage, and that's not right, and I will stand next to him, I'll stand beside him, I will back him up 100%, then shame on us. If we don't stand beside Dave Daubenmeyer when he's out there protesting the murder mills, these so-called clinics that kill unborn babies, that murder unborn babies with impunity, if we're not standing shoulder to shoulder with him or backing him up, who will? Yeah, you can sit at home, knit your scarf, knit your blanket, plant your turnips, okay? Type on your keyboard, thank you. And yip, 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 and complain. And say, you know, you're not really much of a Christian. But God forbid you get in the battle. God forbid you put your butt out there on the line and say, yeah, I'm going to stand next to him. I'm going to stand next to Dave Daubenmeyer. I'm going to stand up for Michael Savage. I'm going to stand behind next to Alex Jones. We have to stick together. And Josh Tully, being his video being banned, yeah, we're going to talk about it. And not only are we going to talk about it, we are going to spread it. And you know something? You push, we're going to push back. You push harder, we're going to push back harder. You bring a knife, we're going to bring a gun. You bring a gun, we're going to bring a flamethrower. Okay, a tank. I don't care. We're going to do whatever we can. Yeah, I know that's bravado and talk and bluster. But see, that's the spirit. Because Christians for too long have been pushed around. And what you brought up earlier, why hasn't there been a Christian? Why haven't the Christians said, hey, wait a minute. Enough. Okay. You want to play the games with lawfare? Let's rock.
Well, at some point you're going to have to, or else you're going to be pushed into oblivion. If these people don't start standing up for themselves.
That's right. And I don't want to just seem like I'm ranting because there's a lot of news. You had the SCOTUS hearings today. You had the Senate Intelligence Committee hearings today. What'd we learn? I watched the Senate Intelligence hearings from 10 o'clock to 3:15, minus a 10 minute pee break that, Comey had to take.
You'll never get that time back.
Yeah. And what I learned? I learned that.
No comment.
I learned absolutely nothing. I learned that the system is broken. That's what I learned. Because it flies in the face. I mean, yeah, how much, and I saw the frustration of Trey Gotti. And look, I don't know if Gotti's a good guy or a bad guy. I mean, I know what is reported, but I don't know if what's in his heart. I don't know. But I could tell he was frustrated. But here's Comey making comments, in my view, making certain comments that implicate Donald Trump and backing off comments. I mean, the linguistic games that were taking place, the game of words. It was exquisite to see. And I'm not saying that in a good way.
Well, it's crazy. But, I mean,
yeah.
They came out, even though we know, and last week, we didn't really talk about this, last week Sean Spicer had a press conference where he cited newspaper and media articles detailing the wiretapping of Trump, the FISA warrants that were denied, and then the one that was given to them on Trump Tower to a Russian bank. We know that Flynn had his conversations monitored. The content of those conversations were leaked, and that could not have happened unless somebody was listening in and recording these conversations. But they come right out and lie and say, oh yeah, there was no evidence of Obama wiretapping Donald Trump's phones. So they play the word game
through
there.
The tulips, right? Tiptoe through the lexicon of the language. It's just we're gonna parse this just right.
But we already know it's true. We already know that the either the Obama administration or somebody under or in the Obama administration, whether it's the DOJ, FBI, absolutely wiretapped Trump and his team before, during the election, because we know there have been leaks of those conversations that have come out. You can't get the details of a phone conversation after the fact. You have to be listening to be able to get transcripts like that. We know that the New York Times on January 20th wrote an article, data inquiry used in wiretap claims against Trump. We had the FISA warrants. We know there were surveillance on the Trump campaign, and they're saying, yeah, Obama didn't wiretap Trump's phone. But the Obama administration surveilled Trump and his team before and during the election. But they're using, as you said, a word game to get around that. And they're so quick to say that, you know, oh, that's a lie. Trump needs to apologize. And I see people saying, oh, he needs to be impeached. He was given information about the wiretap, about the wiretaps, about the surveillance. And he put it out there on a tweet. There was no crime. There was no lying. It's all craziness. And then to bring up this Russia stuff, Comey comes out. And when asked about the wiretap claims, he said, oh, I can't comment on ongoing investigations, and I won't comment on the wiretapping because that would hint that there is an investigation going on. Then asked, what about the Russia collusion and hacking into the elections? Well, I can comment on that because it's a special circumstance. We're investigating collusion between Russia and Trump.
Right. Which
then every other question, no comment.
And MSNBC talking no about evidence. The cloud. Exactly.
There's no evidence.
The cloud is suspicion. Oh, this is not good for... But see, didn't we tell you months ago that the key here was to cast doubt on the legitimacy of the elections and Donald Trump? Where did you hear that before? Now they're saying that this has been the case. Or this really is the case, but they were talking about this cloud of suspicion on MSNBC. That's their phrase of the week.
My goodness, you can't watch CNN or MSNBC for 5 minutes without seeing stories about, you know, they bring on all these brain dead pundits and you know, paid talking heads and you know, liberal reporters. Oh yeah, where there's smoke, there has to be fire. Right. Where's the evidence? Well, we don't have any actionable evidence, but we can prove there's deception going on, and that's enough to start an investigation. That's enough for us. And we've talked about this all last week between them asking for proof of Trump's tweet on surveillance on his campaign.
Right. That's right.
They want all the proof right away, right now. But when it comes to the proof they're talking about, Russia hacking our elections, what did Russia hack? They didn't hack our election system. Our election system's not online. The machines are not online.
And how did they unduly influence the outcome?
Oh, by putting out fake news and, you know, when Hillary Clinton got
the Clatchy's reporting this.
Yeah.
Now.
When Hillary Clinton got negative attention in the news media from, you know, they promoted the, the fake email stories. And this is from the McClatchy article.
Right. That's correct.
And, you know, it was all bots. Now, there's no bots on the left, but on the right, there's millions of these Russian bots who, as soon as some negative story came out about Hillary Clinton, that would throw all this pro-Trump out stuff out there and anti-Hillary stuff. We want to talk about interference in the elections. What about the 99.5% of news coverage that was anti-Trump from the time of the primaries until the election, until today?
There you go.
And it was all biased, and half of it was made up. But no, you don't hear about that. Would there have been hearings if Hillary Clinton won? If Hillary Clinton won, would there be hearings into the mainstream media's, influencing the election? Of course not.
No.
Of course not. There's no investigations into her dealings with Uranium One. There's no investigations into Podesta's dealings with lobbying for a Russian bank.
That's right.
But sure enough, Flynn talks about sanctions on Russia and the Russian bank, and he gets thrown out. Well, he lied to the vice president, so I can see that. It's not about him talking with Russia. Yeah. It was about him lying to the vice president. There's no criminal charges there. There's nothing criminal that any law enforcement agency can act on.
That reminds me of Clinton. It wasn't about oral sex in the Oval Office. It was about lying under oath about that. Okay, same thing. But, how many people will misrepresent that? The same could be said for Watergate, but millennials are saying, well, what's that? But anyway.
But Edward Snowden even came out today, weighing in after Comey testified on Russian interference, and he talked about the FBI and the House Intelligence Committee today. Former NSA contractor said he noticed a red flag as the two men took questions from Congress members about leaks of classified information into the press. A red flag. NSA director careful to discuss only who can unmask USP identities in reporting, not who can access collection involving USP. Snowden tweeted Monday, how many communications in which at least one participant is American are being held by the NSA. He's talking about the dragnet spying by the NSA on American citizens.
Okay.
And saying that, you know, what Comey said, how, you know, this wasn't the case, there was no surveillance. He's saying, yes, there was surveillance, not only of Donald Trump, but of everybody else.
Exactly. And that's what we have to remember. And the other thing, too, just two very quick things, Karen, thanks for the email. That escaped me from what you guys are going to answer that question. About foreign intelligence services doing the spying. Very true. There's a redundancy built into the spying. Believe me when I tell you that. There's a redundancy built in, and that does include GCHQ and even MI6.
And the real question should be, where is the investigation into the leaks of classified information from the White House and from...
There you go.
That is the real crime. That's an actionable crime.
That's exactly right.
Prosecute the 5 to 10 years in jail per leak.
You're exactly right. And the other thing,
Trump and Russia.
Well, the other thing mentioned today was they made a lot of noise. Meaning, there's a lot of digital noise in the break-in. Let me tell you something. Hackers are not going to do that. In other words, Comey said they didn't care. Meaning, Russia didn't care if anyone knew that they were hacking. Are you kidding me? They're not going to leave a digital fingerprint or footprint in the that's misdirected attribution. We talked about that last week.
All right. Till tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening.